Fact is, 99% of the population believes in a physical body governed by a material world. As part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Balanced Horse Project has a surprise for them. We don't want to scare them too much, so let's talk about their animals instead. Promoting the care of the electric body of horses and other four-legged friends is hosted by Patricia Cleveland, who gave up on conventional thought a long time ago. She's aware that the body suits we wear are conductive elements, programmed to regenerate when the environment is a happy place. So now 1% of us have a great reason to laugh.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's time for the Balanced Horse Project radio show. I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland, and you are listening to us on the Dream Vision 7 radio network, broadcast live at 1510 a.m. Revolution Boston, which is in the beautiful Marina Bay. To learn more about this and other programming that's going on, you can go to our website, which is the dreamvision7radio.com, and you'll find some pretty amazing subjects covered by very, very intelligent and very, very gifted hosts. So it's dreamvision7radio.com. You can also visit my website, which is thebalancedhorseproject.net, and in there you'll also find archives of this radio show and all kinds of information about what we've been able to accomplish without using drugs or operations or basically mainstream thinking. Instead, we've changed it into organic and energetic concepts of how to improve the bodies of our animals. So you can look me up. It's Patricia Cleveland at the Balanced Horse Project. We have a really amazing guest visiting us, but before I introduce her, I kind of got cut off on our last show, and I really wanted to draw some attention to some pressures that are going on in the agricultural area, and anybody who cares for animals, I really would like you to take an interest and go to the website for Michigan and read up about some of the things that are going on with the discussion about pigs. They have an order. It's a federal order. It's called the Feral Species Order, where the Department of Natural Resources, actually, they do a great job. They go out and they make sure animals, such as wild pigs, who are very destructive for the environment, basically are taken out of the system so that they won't kill the ecosystems that they would normally live in. But there are some farmers there who raise these feral breeds of pigs. They're registered breeds, and these people have gone out and paid money, and they raise them for hunting or to go into specialty restaurants. And unfortunately, the state of Michigan is condemning these animals. And as I'm aware, the agents for the Department of Natural Resources can just jump the fence and go in the barn and shoot the people's livestock. So it's a little bit concerning on several levels, and I just really wanted to bring that conversation to your attention. In the meantime, I'm going to bring you back to something that's really, really kind of cool, and that is all the work that my guest has done. Her name is Denise Bean Raymond, and she has written an amazing book. You don't have to be a doctor or a professor of any special equine sciences to understand what she is trying to share. The name of the book is The Illustrated Guide to Holistic Care for Horses. And I have to say, I've looked at a lot of books on a lot of different levels, everything from technical manuals to basic books for Pony Club. And I really have to say, Denise, thank you for all your hard work in pulling this together. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for those kind words, Patricia. I certainly appreciate that.
Well, you do a lot of work. somebody have to say, whoa. As a horse consumer, I would have loved to have had access to this book when the conversation was just starting about holistic therapies and strategies for care. Because really, when we started this conversation in the 60s and 70s, all we could really find was stuff coming out of China or Germany. And now you've kind of put it all together as a compilation. It's just amazing. I have to ask you this very, very interesting question, and I like to ask it of all my guests. How did you get started looking into all these holistic therapies? Like, where did it begin for you?
It actually all began with myself having an injury. I suffered a back injury, and in that process was having some difficulty with making a full recovery and finding full healing in my body. So basically, out of desperation, I decided to look elsewhere other than simply traditional means and started seeing an acupuncturist. And at that time, I was not familiar with these therapies at all. I didn't know anything about them. I was simply going to give it a try and see if it would be helpful for my particular back injury. To make a long story short, I started seeing the acupuncture therapist and also a massage therapist. And through their work, I was healed. I no longer had the pain or inflammation or spasms in my lower back that I had been suffering for well over a year. So that opened my eyes to the world of these sorts of therapies. And I had been a horse person since I was a child. I had always been passionate and obsessed with horses, anything at all to do with horses, and had started riding lessons at a young age and competing and such, and became a riding instructor. And was a riding instructor when this injury happened. So once I was healed through these therapies, I discovered why weren't we taking better advantage of them and applying them to our horses. So that got me to think that I was going to go ahead and do that. So I researched schools and programs, sent myself through schools and programs, and then came back and started working on my riding students' horses. And that's how I started my whole practice. And it's just blossomed and grown since then, and it continues to amaze me where it takes me and where it leads me and the opportunities that it presents me.
Yes, I always find it interesting that we usually have to have our own personal firsthand experience.
Yeah.
And then for, I don't know, whatever our goal is, but we end up translating it over to our animals, which I think is pretty encouraging. And I really hope that more people have firsthand experiences. So it brought you into looking after your riding students' horses.
Yeah.
And from there, you just kept taking classes and having your own firsthand experiences in the results that you were able to produce?
Exactly. And what I started to do was all of the different equine events that I had attended, either as a competitor myself or as an instructor bringing students to, I switched gears and I started going to those events and setting up a booth to offer my services to work on the horses that were at the events, or if it was sort of an educational atmosphere, offering clinics and teaching, and started just sort of segueing away from the competitive aspect of things and more into the therapy aspect of things and seeing where it all took me. And I had the vantage point of already knowing all of, you know, many of these people and many of these events, except now I wasn't going as a role of a rider or a trainer. I was going in as a role of a therapist. And it just sort of blossomed from there. And certainly word of mouth has always been and still is my best form of advertisement. And, you know, you work on one horse at one particular facility and things go well. And then the next thing you have a few horses there and then you have a few more. And it just sort of takes on a life of its own. And As you said, it's interesting, Patricia. When I talk to many people throughout the country that work with animals in all different aspects within these sort of holistic modalities, very, very often the common thread we all share is just that, that we've all had some sort of experience in our own personal lives that brought us to these sorts of therapies. And, you know, many of us didn't know we would be doing this in life, or maybe had a different vision originally, or thought we would be working with the animals, but in a different aspect, and all were drawn to these sorts of modalities through our own personal experiences, which I think is fabulous. Then you have a true investment in it. It's very personal, and it's your intention is very pure because you're coming from such a personal place.
Yeah, you're coming from something that you loved in the first place.
Yes.
And you've just expanded your awareness, and you're able to share that intensity of your interest. Just it's expressed in a way that's absorbed, I think, better, and is then translated into the animal's ability to feel better about themselves. A thing I find interesting is a lot of horse therapists, we come from the riding background,
yes.
not so much the clinical or the university background, but we come into doing holistic therapies from the riding and the training aspect. And I find that in itself is a gift, because we can go out to events or we can have a conversation with somebody over the phone and we have this common language. So somebody could tell you that, oh, well, when I'm riding a circle to the left,
right,
my horse collapses, you know? and you can stand there and the light bulb is already starting to form in your head.
Exactly.
Because you understand the dynamics of movement, and
right,
you understand the language of the rider and the horseman. And,
exactly,
and it just opens up this familiar, welcoming feeling for people who really haven't had a lot of exposure to it. But when you're speaking and listening and there's this commonality of experience, I think it creates a zone of trust and comfort. And that, for any therapist, is a very, very important gift to share with their clients. So you came from a good beginning. So now you work out of Georgetown, Massachusetts, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's my home base.
And you travel out of the state of Massachusetts, or are you?
I do. I travel throughout the country for various things. It may be to actually work on the horses at different locations, or it may be to actually offer clinics and lectures or book signings. It really sort of depends on the event, whether it may be an equine expo type of an event or an actual horse show. It really will depend on what's happening according to where I have to go and then what sort of job I have to perform there, whether it's actually working on the horses themselves or it's educating others that are interested in these sorts of therapies.
Well, that's very good, because it's nice to get out and tour around and meet people and introduce your perspectives on things. And when they pick up your book and start looking at the various levels of conversation that you present, everything from what I perceive is your primary love, which is the massage therapy, is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And then you move into acupressure.
Yes.
You have conversations about stretches and just general horse care. It goes on and on and on. I could go through the whole book and take up the whole show talking about it. But it's just so nicely put together, because there's nice descriptions that are easy to read and understand,
mm-hmm,
and they're backed up with amazing photography and showing you doing the different modalities and explaining the positions and the preventative things and the things to be cautious about, so that people who aren't really familiar as therapists themselves have something to refer to, and that's a huge tool. So
my whole sort of vision in writing this particular book was that people could literally take it out into their barn, open it up, and follow along with whichever chapter and section they were interested in learning about and practicing on their own animal in a safe fashion and in an appropriate fashion, but in a fashion that they could go ahead and go forward and do that so that they would have some sort of, you know, new knowledge and almost a bit of empowerment to add something else into their horse's life to keep their horse happy and to keep their horse healthy. But that was sort of my vision, that you would literally take the book out into the barn, open it up, follow along with the pictures and the instructions, and practice and be able to do something and learn from it and not become overwhelmed because it was too technical or confused because there weren't enough visuals or anything like that. So that was sort of my whole vision when I was trying to write this and put this all together.
Well, I think you captured it. I think you did an amazing job. We've got about 3 minutes left here. So I was just curious as to what a person should be looking for in their horse's behavior to understand that they need to call a therapist, whether it's a massage therapist or an acupressurist or whatever. What are some of the indications that they might be aware of before they call you?
Very often you'll hear of behavioral changes. A horse that may have been calm and happy about having certain body parts touched or worked with, or maybe tack put on, or asked to do a particular task under saddle, things like that change. The horse will become grouchy or cranky or offer some sort of protest. The horse will refuse the work at hand that it never refused before. People will have the horse ask the horse to go forward in some sort of gait or movement, and the horse will not want to do it, put up a bit of a protest. Things like that, things that the horse normally would do or didn't mind doing or was cooperative about, change, and behaviors start to change, and the horse is, you know, trying to communicate to the owner or the rider or the trainer that something's not right. It's no longer happy to have a saddle put on its back. It's no longer happy to pick a right lead up in the canter. It's no longer happy to go forward. It doesn't want to jump over the fences anymore. Any sort of behavioral change is very often one of your early indicators that there's something going wrong, that it may not simply just be behaviorally based, that there's a physical root cause and the horse is trying to communicate that there's something that's not right in its body.
Yeah, and I think for people that have any animal, that is a primary warning sign, whether you have a dog,
sure,
cat, mm-hmm, you know, it's across the board that that emotional shift in, or behavioral shift is a form of communication to tell us to please take care and pay attention, because there's something else occurring in the body.
Yeah.
You know, we might not see it. You know, we're only humans.
Right.
But the animals, they basically saying, excuse me.
Exactly. They're telling you that something isn't right, something has changed and something's wrong and something needs to be addressed.
So this is something that this level of conversation about behavioral change is something that, as a trainer and a person that has been a competitor, that I'm trying to bring to the general public's awareness. It doesn't matter what animal they're working with.
Right.
That behavior could indicate some type of pain, and it might not be a medical issue.
Right.
It might be something that we as therapists could actually help relieve so it doesn't become a medical issue.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Denise Dean Raymond. Talk to you in about, 3 or 4 minutes.
Patricia Cleveland knows it's not what you do with your animal, but how you support their well-being that provides winning performances, reliable personality, and a healthy body. Patricia interprets the silent language of animals, bringing a special perspective on training, saving money, frustration, injuries, and time. Using nature's toolbox, the Balanced Horse Project transforms tired, resistant, broken, and frightened animals into confident, trusting, and healthy friends. If you've been searching for logical answers backed by science, visit the website thebalancedhorseproject.net and discover the services offered. That's thebalancedhorseproject.net. Tune in the first Sunday of every month at 6 p.m. Eastern for the Conversations of the Balanced Horse Project.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
You have an appointment with the angels. At My Crystal Angel Show, the angel therapist Livia Jepson will present a fun and lighthearted hour with the company of the angels. Livia and friends will help you to connect with your angels, answer questions from Facebook, and perform angel healing to all the listeners. The first half of this show will be performed in English, the second half in Portuguese. My Crystal Angel Show is every fourth Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
From biting dogs to bucking horses, Patricia Cleveland transforms challenges into assets. Whether it's that one special animal in your life or a professional situation, Patricia and the Balanced Horse Project weaves a network of physical and bioenergetic components which redefines the body's potential. This new perspective opens opportunities to address issues before they become problems or to restore the body's older injuries. Easy, cost-effective, Patricia supports training, rehabilitation, performance, and maintenance, promoting confidence, fun, and safer working conditions. There's nothing too amazing to be true. Just experience is waiting to be acknowledged. Visit thebalancedhorseproject.net or call 334-718-7806 to provide a better lifestyle for all animals. That's 334-718-7806.
Ever wonder what your life has in store for you or what the next best step is for you to take? Tune in to Ada Marie, the true golden oracle, an extraordinary life extension specialist, seer, healer, and teacher. Hear your answers every first and third Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Listen and be amazed.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Patricia Cleveland, your host, and we are back. And let's see, we are broadcasting live from Revolution Boston, which is 1510 a.m., and we're also coming through the Dream Vision 7 radio network, and for any more information, you can go to dreamvision7radio.com. My name is Patricia Cleveland, and I'm your host. And if you'd like to find out any more information about any of the services I offer or the information from the Balanced Horse Project, which is a research project into organic forms of body renewal, you can go to my website, which is thebalancedhorseproject.net. And we are having a great discussion with Dean Raymond, who is the author of the book, Holistic Care for Horses. And we were talking about all kinds of interesting things before the break, and I just I would bring us back to a conversation about training and how therapy actually fits into the regimen of training horses, and how you see it working to the advantage of the trainer or the owner.
Sure. I think one thing that's interesting to mention in realms of the world of training and riding and competing and such is very often sometimes people will say, well, my horse is fine. I don't think the horse has anything wrong with it, and therefore I don't need any sort of therapy to be administered on the horse. And I can certainly understand that response. It's a very common response. However, I think you need to sort of take a moment and think about that particular response with respect to your horse's body, not only in the present moment, but also in the long term and in the future, what you're asking that horse to do on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis. And I think it's important to think of all of these therapies certainly as a wonderful preventative tool, something that you can actually be proactive in so that you're helping your horse to remain healthy and remain sound and to function. It's much easier to prevent something from happening than it is to actually have to address it once it's already occurred. So I think that's important to think about in the world of training and riding and whatnot. And I also think it's important to remember that, you know, just as with ourselves and our own bodies, the better we maintain them and take care of them on a routine basis, you know, the better health that we have overall, short-term and long-term. You know, to make it very simple, you know, most of us brush our teeth daily, and it's not because we're having an active dental issue. It's to prevent an active dental issue from happening and to protect the teeth and the health of the teeth and hopefully to have those teeth for a long time. And it's the same sort of mindset is, you know, these therapies are wonderful to be implemented on a routine basis with a horse that appears to be healthy and not having an issue to prevent that from happening. I think that's very important, and I think that's often maybe overlooked or just not thought about in that respect.
Yeah, I think that we're so accustomed to just perceiving them as a horse, and we can get on them, we can go out and go for a ride, or mm-hmm. go jump fences, or take them down the racetrack, whatever mm-hmm. the interest. And, you know, sometimes we fail to understand the safety issues involved. I sometimes have to just smile because I get these parents, and you know, they love their children, and they have this horse addicted daughter, and mm-hmm. they bought her the perfect horse or the perfect pony.
Yep.
And I don't know what's happened in the career of that animal, but I mean, I'm looking at it from a professional point of view. I'm going, that little animal is taking the responsibility of carrying that child
right.
around the course, mm-hmm. and just standing here, I can see 15 things that if it was my situation, I wouldn't allow my daughter to ride that horse until those things were corrected.
That is,
what if that horse can't come to a fence and feel confident on landing the fence?
Right.
Because his shoulders and his neck hurt.
Right.
You know, you're putting yourself on the animal's back, and you're asking the animal to assume the responsibility of your safety.
Right.
Sometimes they'll give you behaviors that say, oh, no. We are not doing this because I don't feel comfortable. And then for whatever reason, whether it's expected to be accomplished or whatever, we push the animal. And then a fight starts, and
right.
somebody, usually the animal ends up having some bruises or, you know, some sore muscles, but it could be the human. I mean, I've watched
right.
horses on three-day events, horses literally crumple because
okay.
they can't go forward anymore because
no.
the preventative care has really been missing in the training program.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, Moving into prevention and being proactive and understanding that behavioral responses are quite often driven through body change, and usually that's a stimulation of pain,
yes.
Really is a language that I think more people could be picking up on. One of the things I was so happy to see in your book is on page 87, and you've got in there, on page 14, it's the body weight chart.
Yes.
You put in how to measure the horse's body and have the equations for figuring out how much the horse would weigh. I was so excited to see that.
Oh, well, thank you for that. It's just something that, again, very often people, even if they've been around horses for a long time or a long period in their life, it's just something they may not be aware of, or they may be, but they've forgotten about it, and they need a quick reference tool to go ahead and take another peek at that, or whatever the situation may be. I just thought it would be something that would be helpful and important. And that's also sort of, it's another common question that does come up routinely for horses that I see. Very often people say, do you think this horse is overweight? Do you think we have too much weight on this horse? You know, very often people can certainly tell if a horse is underweight, but when it comes to overweight, there's a little bit of a gray area that they may be confused or not quite sure about if the horse is carrying too many pounds on their body or not. So I just thought it would be something that would be helpful for people to be able to just grab and look up.
It's one of those mystery tools that I think should be in the hands of more people, because one of the primary killers of horses is obesity. And a lot of people use food as a sign of love.
Right.
And they don't really understand that, like people, horses can have all kinds of issues if they're overweight. So,
Sure.
So impressed to see that in there. I was just like, yes, go for it. Spread the news, because when you're trying to do therapeutic actions, it's nice that the body is in a condition that it can actually receive the energy and the intent and the skills that you're introducing to it. So
exactly.
having the owner have the access to information that supports what you're trying to do.
Sure.
A really great tool to have. So are there any specific things that you find happening in horses of specific discipline? Like if hunting type horses, do they have a common injury or stress points?
Sure. And it really does vary a bit from discipline to discipline, depending on what the horse's body is asked to do sort of repeatedly on a daily or weekly basis. For example, your upper-level dressage horses, where they carry their bodies in such a frame, very often their neck, and especially along their crest area, and the muscles that sort of pull that head and neck in towards the chest and create that frame, very often those muscles will be sore or tight or have some discomfort in them simply because they're carrying their head and neck in such a frame. Some of the Western horses that have to really engage and then sort of sit down deeply into their haunches, you'll find their hamstrings very often can be very tender and very sensitive because they're tucking those legs under and then sitting right down on them. And then, certainly your jumping horses very often their lower back and their upper rib cage will have areas that have a muscle that's very sort of congested from actually the landing side of the fence, all that concussion on the landing side where they have to land and then gather themselves back up and then move forward. That will set right there in that lower back and upper rib cage. So it really varies according to what the horse's task in life is and on a routine basis what it's asked to be. What it's asked to do on a daily and weekly basis. But you certainly do find different areas that highlight more so on each horse, depending on what the horse's job in life is.
So when you're doing massage therapy, how can you tell whether the horse is receptive to what you're offering it?
Horses are wonderful, as you know. They're very honest. They're very open. They are not guarded at all like we human beings are. And they're very intuitive. That's how they survive. So they have no problem letting you know clearly if they are liking what you're doing or they are not liking what you're doing. And it can be simply very basic as to if they're not liking it, they're pinning their ears, they're crinkling up their nostrils, they're showing teeth as if going to bite, they might throw a leg out as if going to kick. If they're a little bit not apt to be a kicker or a biter, then they might just simply start to wiggle and move around a lot and sort of try to nicely get away from you. On the other hand, if they're really enjoying what you're doing and finding some relief and comfort from it, you know, they'll get a very glazed look over their eyes. They'll lower their head and their neck. Their ears will just sort of flop out to the side. They'll yawn. They'll sigh. They'll roll up onto their toe on their hind foot and really drop and relax down. I have horses, we laugh periodically. I have different horses. If I'm up front and working, for example, on their wither and they really enjoy that, if they can turn around and reach me, they'll turn around and reach me and they'll literally start grooming me while I'm working on their wither. So they certainly have very clear, obvious signs of what's feeling good and what's not feeling good, what they are liking and what they're not liking, which is fantastic. It's fantastic to read their body languages and to communicate with them in that fashion.
Yeah, it kind of opens the door to say, hey, we're sharing, you're giving me direction, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
When I was learning massage therapy a long time ago, I had my trouble horse, his name was Trooper, and he had a lot of sore muscles, a lot of kinks in his back, and he started... I had such a hard time learning massage therapy because I would start working on an area and he would brace himself and start rocking back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I have a few that do that. Yep.
Please just don't stop. Just stay there. You know, and I would have to, you know, you've got to work your way through the muscle layers and,
sure.
and you work your way. And he would shuffle his feet so
yes.
that I couldn't move past that one place that he wanted attention. I'm like, I'm never going to learn this.
I can completely understand that. I actually have a few that do it, and it's honestly, it's like a real live, living rocking horse. They're literally rocking back and forth because they're trying to guide you and keep you in that particular area on their back because it's so comforting to them.
Yeah, it just said, I've never, you know, you're in the barn and you're trying to learn this, and you,
sure.
but the demonstration horses didn't do this. What is going on? But he would lick and chew, and the other thing he would do is he used to have hamstring groin problems, and it would be working, say, along the lumbardal muscle pads, and he would lift his leg up like a dog.
Yes.
And bend his head around like, okay, can you reach up underneath there and
yes.
work on those muscles? And
exactly, exactly. He was showing you and he was helping. He was like, here, I'll just pick my limb up like this so that you can get better, easier access to that area, and that's really what where I'd like you to work on right now. So
yeah.
That's terrific.
You know, and you try to explain these things to people, and they go, sure they do.
Right.
Sure they do. And I'm like, but they're intelligent, connected, thinking beings
oh,
in a horse body who are just saying, please pay attention to me and help me out. Now, I'm going to get your contact information. I just have a couple of seconds before the next break. And
okay.
you have a website, and it's exclusiveequestrianservices.com.
Yes.
And they can type in your name as well, Denise Bean Raymond.
Yes.
And that should take them right into your website.
Yes.
And you've got all kinds of information in there. Do you have any little events coming on in the next couple of weeks?
I do. I'm actually at a horse show in West Springfield, Massachusetts in about a week and a half. It's called the Yankee Color Classic, and it's a regional Appaloosa horse show, and I'll be there for 4 days. And,
okay. We'll come back to the rest of them
sure.
after this break, okay?
Okay.
So, everybody, hang on, and we will be back with Denise.
courses, and quantum concepts are a usual thread of thought. Look for Patricia Cleveland and the Balanced Horse Project the first Sunday of every month at 6 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us on Hypnosis with Anna Maria every fourth Sunday at 6 p.m. We're here to support, guide, and teach you how to restore your life, how to stop smoking, how to lose weight, improve your self-esteem or behavior, empower yourself through hypnosis today, and live a better you tomorrow. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers, it's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us on Skydance Astrology, the key to your soul's purpose, with esoteric astrologer Charlene Rose Johnson, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Charlene will discuss how this ancient key of the wisdom traditions works and will conduct sample interpretations of this language of the soul. Your spiritual purpose need not be a mystery. For information about obtaining oral readings via phone or Skype or full written reports, please go to the SkydanceAstrology.com webpage. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. From biting dogs to bucking horses, Patricia Cleveland transforms challenges into assets. Whether it's that one special animal in your life or a professional situation, Patricia and the Balanced Horse Project weaves a network of physical and bioenergetic components which redefines the body's potential. This new perspective opens opportunities to address issues before they become problems or to restore the body's older injuries. Easy, cost-effective, Patricia supports training, rehabilitation, performance, and maintenance, promoting confidence, fun, and safer working conditions. There's nothing too amazing to be true. Just experiences waiting to be acknowledged. Visit thebalancedhorseproject.net or call 334-718-7806 to provide a better lifestyle for all animals. That's 334-718-7806.
Welcome to In Spirit with Maria Halverson. I'm Maria Halverson, your host. In Spirit comes to you every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. to bring you stories that will inspire you to open your hearts and minds to the afterlife. In Spirit is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
This is Patricia Cleveland and the Balanced Horse Project, and we are coming to you live on Revolution Boston at 1510 a.m. and also through the Dream Vision 7 radio network, so Dream Vision 7 Radio.com. And if you need to find myself, Patricia Cleveland, your host, you can visit our website, which is thebalancedhorseproject.net. We have been spending a wonderful afternoon talking with Denise Dean Raymond, and she has a business called Exclusive Equestrian Services. And you can go on there and type it in as a .com. Or if you need to contact her directly, if you don't have computer access, her number is 978-828-1974. And so we just have been having a great time talking therapist to therapist, and some of the languages and gestures that horses share. And as therapists, we can stand in a barn full of people who are interested in what we have to offer, and they watch us work. So long do they really actually watch the expression of the horse. And Denise and I were chatting about, geez, you know, they're into the result, they're into the effect on the animal, but do they actually see the language that the animal is sharing? So do you want to tell us about the cross-tie horse you were sharing with me in the break?
Oh, certainly. I have a particular horse, and he has some pain in his lower back and also around his left hip in particular. And when you work through that pain in the lower back and around the left hip, his response is that he will plant his front legs, and then he stretches his entire body and being completely back so that he's leaning completely back onto his hind legs, almost as if in a sitting down posture similar to a dog. So it's very unusual for a horse to do something like that, but it's this particular horse's way of communicating that the pain is starting to lift and starting to release, and he's starting to feel comfort. And I'm used to him doing it now because I've been working with him for a couple of years, but when I very first met him and first started to work with him, he really sort of caught me off guard. The very first time he did it, I had to sort of step off of my stool and step back and just watch for a minute to see what exactly this horse was doing, try to figure out why he was doing it, what he was trying to communicate to me. And then I soon realized it was not anything that was negative. It was a huge form of release for him because those particular areas were so sore at the time, and they were finally getting some relief, and this was his way of letting it all go. And now he does it fairly routinely, although to a lesser degree. It's not as extreme because the tissues are much healthier now, and he doesn't have that severe pain that he had when I first met him. But it was so amazing to just watch and see. Again, a very, very unusual behavior for a horse to present with. But that was his way of telling me. That was his way of communicating that he was letting it go. It was happening.
And what was the reaction of the people that were watching?
They were a little bit shocked in the beginning. There were two people there at the time, and they literally, I think their jaws dropped, and they were just staring at the horse saying, what is he doing? Oh, my goodness, I've never seen him do this before, and is this okay, and what's happening? And I said, no, he's okay. He's just communicating that he actually likes the work here, that the pain is starting to lift and go away, and this is his way of telling us that. And then once I moved on from those two particular areas, then he stood back up into, you know, a proper position, and we continued on, and he was the type of horse, he was yawning a lot, he would wriggle his lips a lot and stretch those lips out, and really, really enjoying the body work, just thoroughly enjoying the body work. And so now it's sort of a running joke at that particular facility. When it's his turn, they're like, oh, let's see what he's going to do today.
But he's lovely.
He's lovely to work with, absolutely lovely to work with.
Well, it's nice when you have individuals that are that clear in what they're asking you to do for them.
Yes.
And that makes life a lot easier for us to understand what their needs are. Now, you're going to an event, and I cut you off a little bit on the event because we ran out of time, so I don't want to forget to ask you about your upcoming events and what you're scheduled.
Sure. The next event for me is actually in Massachusetts. It's in West Springfield, Mass. It's a regional Appaloosa horse show. It's called the Yankee Color Classic, and it's being held at the Eastern States Exposition Center in West Springfield. And all of that information is listed on my website. It's also listed on my Facebook pages. I have two Facebook pages. One is in my name, Denise Bean Raymond, and the other is in my business name, Exclusive Equestrian Services. and I will be there for the duration. It's a three-day horse show. I'll actually be there the day before as well, so I'll be there for 4 days offering therapy to the horses on the grounds that are there competing, and also available for book signing, and also my new DVD has just come out, so I'm there available to sell the DVD as well.
Okay, and is your book, it's available on your website?
Yes.
And is it distributed through any booksellers at all?
It is. It's available through Amazon and also Barnes & Noble and actually many other sites. If you simply just Googled the title of the book, The Illustrated Guide to Holistic Care for Horses, there's many sites that the book's available on globally as well.
That's good. That's the way to do it. There you go. Get it out there. Well, we have a few more minutes, not a lot. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I think probably one more piece of information I'd just sort of like to put out there to everyone that's listening is touches back a little bit on the topic we had talked about earlier about when people think there's nothing wrong with the horse, so therefore they shouldn't put a call into you because they don't need the therapy. And I think one thing that's very important to mention, aside from being proactive and preventative, is in terms of motion and soundness, which is one of the common issues horses face, is they have difficulty moving, they have difficulty in their motion, they have difficulty in their soundness, is that very often to an untrained eye, or an eye that is trained but used to seeing the same animal over and over again, the horse looks fine. But when you have a professional come in and actually work on the animal and they restore that range of motion or mobility that's been lost, then you have new feedback coming in from the owner or the rider or the trainer saying, oh, you know what, his stride is so much longer, his lead changes are so much more balanced, he's much more receptive to my aids. Things like that. So very often when motion or range of motion is lost, you may not notice it until a practitioner has come in and actually restored it, and then the horse is performing even better than you thought originally. So I think that's important to mention because that's something that I come up to face with on a regular basis. Is people will go, wow, I thought the horse was fine until he got a treatment, and now he's so much better. I think that's just important to mention that.
I can feel him move my body around, right. Anytime that people are working with animals and they're training and the muscles really don't seem to be developing, that's another really clear indication that whether the horse is sound or not, he's not able to work symmetrically or balance from one side to the other. And that's kind of another hidden clue that people could take home with them.
Yeah.
We're getting close. We've got about a minute left. So I just really wanted people to be aware of how to find you. So if you want to give your website again.
Certainly. The website is exclusiveequestrianservices.com.
And it's okay for them to call you?
Absolutely. The number is 978-828-1974.
Okay. And any time that she's at a horse show or an event in your area, drop in and say hello. She has an amazing book that you can share with any level of rider. And she also has a DVD out that I'm sure is just on the same level of perfection. Well, our time is just about gone, so I say thank you so much for dropping in and having a chat with me.
Thank you very much for having me, Patricia. It was wonderful to be able to chat about our passion and share it with others. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, bye to everybody. This is Patricia Cleveland at the Balanced Horse Project. Until next time, enjoy.
Our animal.
animals are waiting for us to get it together and experience their dynamic universe. Links and archives relating to the show can be found on our site, thebalancedhorseproject.net. If you wish to be a guest or sponsor a show, drop us a line. The Balanced Horse Project is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thanks to them, we're able to share with people like you. Look for the Balanced Horse Project the first Sunday of every month at 6 p.m. Remember, there is nothing too amazing to be true. Just experience is waiting to be acknowledged. Thanks for listening.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.